Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Aditya Malani from the HT Media Group. I would like to welcome you all to our Quarter One Financial Year 2026-27 Earnings Webinar. As a reminder, all the participants will be in listen-only mode. After we are through with the presentation, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. I now hand over to Ms. Anna Abraham, HT Media Group's Deputy CFO, Chief Financial Officer HMVL, and Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Anna.
Thank you, Aditya. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this webinar. Today on the call with me is Mr. Piyush Gupta, Group CFO, Mr. Parvez Bajan, Head Financial Controllership and Taxation, and members of the Investor Relations team. We hope you've had an opportunity to review the results of Hindustan Media Ventures Limited and those of HT Media Limited. We will be discussing the same at the webinar today. Please note that our discussion will follow the presentation slides, which, along with the financial statements, are available on the stock exchanges and in the investor relations sections of our websites. Before we start the presentation, kindly keep in mind the cautionary statement on this slide. We would not, as per usual practice, be giving any specific guidance on revenue or earnings projections. Moving on to slide three, this provides the chairperson's message on the company's performance for the concluded fiscal quarter, and I quote, "We began the financial year on a steady note, with consolidated revenue growing year-on-year and profitability improving in tandem. Print remained the anchor of the business, with advertising revenue continuing to grow year-on-year and circulation revenue remaining resilient. The growth in profitability was achieved on the back of steady advertising revenue and disciplined cost management. However, elevated newsprint prices, a weaker rupee, and global supply chain uncertainties are causes for concern going forward. Radio revenue remained broadly steady year-on-year. The segment is now operating on a leaner and more sustainable footprint following the surrender of licenses for certain non-viable stations. Digital revenue moderated during the quarter as we deliberately reset the portfolio around leaner, more focused offerings with the intent of driving sustainable and profitable growth. Beyond the quarter's operating performance, the board approved a preferential issue last month, subject to regulatory and shareholder approval. The proposed issue is a proactive step towards strengthening the company's capital structure, streamlining its debt profile, and providing capital for general business requirements. As we begin the financial year, your continued confidence and support remain central to our purpose. We remain focused on strengthening our core businesses, delivering trusted journalism and quality content, and creating sustainable long-term value for all our stakeholders." End of quote. Moving on to today's agenda, we will begin with a performance update focusing on consolidated financial results, followed by an overview of our print, radio, and digital business segments. After the presentation, we will open for Q&A session. With this, I now hand over the call to Piyush for the main presentation.
Thanks, Aditya. Thanks, Anna. We will be tracking the webinar. So on your screen, you can see the consolidated financial summary. And I recap operating revenue, led the YoY top line growth. Sustained cost discipline resulted in margin expansion and cash position remained robust. But quickly deep dive into the numbers. As you can see, total revenue grew by 15%, coming at 497 crores, with EBITDA going up nearly 3x to 90 crores, with a margin expansion of 12 points. PAT improved substantially to 47 crores, and PAT margin also improved to 9%. And our net cash position remains a very healthy 922 crores. Now, going into the business unit performance, print, the segment revenue grew on the back of advertising performance. Circulation remained steady both annually and sequentially, and margins for the quarter at 13% despite high commodity rates. As you can see, the ad revenue grew 15% to 295 crores. Circ revenue was virtually flat at 52 crores. Operating revenue, therefore, at 376 crores, which is a 16% increase. And operating EBITDA improved substantially to 50 crores with a margin at 13%. Deep diving a little into the print segment, as you can see, the advertising revenue grew 12% to 156 crores versus the same quarter last year. And sequentially, There was a decline, but that seasonality sitting there. Circulation revenue grew 14% to 13 crores. On Hindi, again, we saw an increase on a YoY basis, revenue coming to 139 crores and circulation revenue remaining flat. Radio, again, the top line was flat with operating EBITDA coming at a -3 crores. Digital segment operating revenue were down by about 28%, and operating EBITDA was a -3 crores with a margin at -12%. With that, we come to the end of the presentation.
Thank you, Piyush. We will now begin the Q&A session. You can click on the raise hand option, which will enable the moderator to unmute you for posing your query. Please introduce yourself before posing your query and kindly restrict to a maximum of 2 to 3 questions per participant so that we may be able to address questions from all participants. Also, as is the ambit of this call, please be mindful to pose questions pertaining to the listed entity HT Media Limited and those within its consolidated structure. We will wait for a few moments while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ranga Prasad. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Mr. Prasad.
It is indeed heartening to note that the management's decision to shut down loss-making verticals is bearing fruit. The losses from the discontinued operations have come down substantially. If the present trend is indicative, our company is on a road to sustained profitability. However, in this regard, I find one thing quite puzzling. The management's decision to go for a preferential offer of equity shares, conceivably to reduce debt. You had just indicated that our net cash position is very healthy at 922 crores. Even until the last quarter, the shareholders were in fact wondering if the company planned to return some cash on hand to the shareholders. Now, suddenly, the management has felt the need to raise additional equity capital. That too through a preferential offer equity shares at a low rate of around rupees 24, while the book value per share is around 70 rupees. This will result in a sharp fall in the book value per share, in addition to diluting the share of the existing public shareholders by 15%. Just at a time when the company is showing indications of getting into sustained profitability, the shareholders who had held on to their stake in the company through thick and thin are being diluted. If the company wanted to raise additional funds, the shareholder interest would be better served if this were done through a rights issue. That way, the stake in the company would not get diluted. I request the management to clarify as to why they preferred to raise additional funds through a preferential offer rather than through a rights issue. So, if at all possible, the ongoing preferential offer of equity warrants should be withdrawn in the interest of the public shareholders. Thank you. Some comment, please.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your comments, Mr. Prasad. So, on the first point where you commended the company for a wonderful performance, we thank you. And as we had been continuously every quarter indicating to the investors that we are carefully monitoring all our incubating businesses. And if they don't turn profitable, indeed the company and the management will take a call. And hence, we had taken a call. You have already seen the profitability numbers improving in this quarter. And again, on a sustainable basis, we believe that they will go from strength to strength. So that's on point number one. On point number two, let me just lay out a couple of big points and then I'll request my colleagues to also jump in into this one. We have a very substantially healthy balance sheet position with net cash at 922 crores, but you have to understand that all that cash is parked in HMVL. HD Media and Digi Content Limited, which is not here, where the preferential issue is being done, are both indebted companies, are running a net debt position. So at this point in time, though money can be given to HMBL shareholders in the way of dividend or buybacks and so on and so forth, there is no free cash or surplus cash sitting in either HD Media or Digi Content Limited. As you can see, those preferential issue has been only called for in HD Media and DCL. They have not been done in HMBL, which is already sitting on a surplus cash. That's the point I'd like you to consider, because what we are showing you 922 is at a consolidated HD Media level, and this is not bifurcating between HD Media separately and HMBL separately. Coming on to the pricing and dilution, we don't believe that is the case, because you have to understand that currently the price to book ratio is less than 0.5, and the pricing of the preferential issue has been done strictly on the basis of a SEBI formula and the higher of 10-day or 90-day VWAP prices, and we have not put it onto any premium on that number. So being the least controversial, we have just stuck ourselves to the SEBI formula, and that's how it is being priced. Once the preferential capital come in, this money will be used to retire the debt. At least one third of the debt, or 30 to 50% of the debt, will be retired, which will definitely be accretive to the EPS and long-term interest coverage ratio, our credit rating, and so on and so forth. All the cash that is sitting in HMVL, will be deployed as per the board directions of HMVL. That's a separate listed company with a separate board and separate set of shareholders, minority and majority. So those guys will take call. But HT Media, for all the business plans that it has, can definitely do with a lesser debt profile, and so can DCL. I would stop here. If there are any other questions, we can take that. Or if my colleagues would like to jump in on any point, happy if they want to contribute.
There was a question about rights issue also. So Visavi, the rights issue would have meant a longer process. Preferential issue is a slightly shorter process. There is greater certainty of fundraising because there was a quantum that was being targeted to reduce the debt. It is not necessary that the same quantum would get put in through a rights issue. And in case of an undersubscription, the process works where the unsubscribed shares are given to an underwriter, which itself becomes a quasi-preferential allotment with inferior pricing guidelines, actually, vis-à-vis the pricing guidelines of a pref issue. So as a company, it was felt that the pref issue will deliver the requirements of
So Mr. Prasad, I think it's a faster process, pref issue, at least 2 to 3 months faster. It gives you a greater certainty of fundraising, and there is no risk of undersubscription because you've already done an outreach and engaged with the investors and are pricing the issue on the basis of a SEBI formula. So I think those are the clear high notes of the points that my colleague just referred to. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Pathak. Please introduce yourself and ask your question.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, good afternoon, Mehul.
Yeah, hello Piyush. Congratulations on a good set of numbers after such a long time. At least this call has something positive to look forward to. So I hope you will be able to keep up these numbers for the next 3 quarters also of this year.
Yes, Mehul, thanks for the kind words. Obviously we do some forward planning, which obviously we don't give any forward guidance, but looking at various scenarios, we are very hopeful that we'll be able to keep up a good set of numbers going into future as well.
Piyush, even if you keep these numbers for the next 3 quarters, we might end up with an earning per share of 6, and on a book value of 70, the return on equity is still lesser than 10. It is lesser than the cost of capital in our country, So even then, I would say that, we are not doing justice to capital in the country, capital in the company, even at these profits that we are earning. But that is, for something for you all in the board to look at. Now, coming to what Mr. Rangaprasad said, I had, given some thought to the preferential issue that you are raising. Now, the preferential issue pricing, while you might say that you have followed the SEBI guideline, legally, technically, you are right. I would say there's a moral dimension to it, and ethical dimension to the whole thing. Now, the company is, in HT Media, if I just value the stake in HMVL, that itself is 51 rupees a share. It has 1587 crores of net worth. If I divide that by 23 crores shares outstanding, 51.75 is what I'm getting. Now, here you are, and you add all the businesses of HT Media also. And if you calculate the intrinsic worth of our company, it should be around 140 or 150 rupees a share. Now, the promoters are, issuing preferential issue at 24.7. Okay, each according to me, is ludicrous. How can you value, you are basically telling that my company is valued at 24 rupees a share, and at 24 rupees a share, we are less than 1,000 crores, when HMVL itself is 1,500 to 1,600 crores. So the whole thing is totally out of whack. Now the voting has opened and I have voted against the resolution for self and family members. I would say seriously, preferential issue, even if SEBI is right, it is a reputation issue and we should withdraw the preferential issue. Or at least I would say the preferential issue has to be priced above rupees 100. And you have to show that, the promoters are, following the highest standards of corporate governance. So, and look, this is not meant to be a question, okay? But I would request the board and the promoters to withdraw the preferential issue and listen to us shareholders. Thank you.
Okay, so Mehul,
Please
let me try.
consider my feedback, And Piyush, one more thing. There are many other ways in which you can raise capital, There's so many loss-making businesses. There is Shine, and there is, whole lot of options available, So, I would say that I am not seeing, in your justification to Mr. Rangaprasad also that you all have considered other options. If other options are making losses or not giving adequate return on capital, I am telling those businesses should be sold and we should remain in media.
No, I think that's a very fair point. So Mehul, let me attempt to engage with your question at two or three different levels. One is why is this preferential issue good or not, or the antithesis of that from a company point of view? Second, you've raised a question about moral dilemma or moral ethics, etc., at the promoter level. And third, other ways of unlocking capital, so to say. Look, I totally take your point that HMVL, if you're basically dividing the net worth by total number of outstanding shares, it comes to a certain number. But the market is valuing at one third that number, and that's been a perpetual challenge. And on various a call, even before this call, I think the company's frustration. But we don't react to short-term share prices. But for the longest time, it has been less than 0.5 times the book value. So we all understand the share has been priced under, but really there's nothing that you can do with it. The second point that you have to consider, and you have to read it in conjunction with this whole stuff, is why are we doing this pref issue? In those companies. So things which are in our control is we can retire the debt. What the promoters are bringing in at exactly the same terms and conditions, capital till their regulatory max in the company, which means they are wholeheartedly subscribing to the same formula in which all the third-party shareholders are bringing in capital. And this will help the company improve the EPS in the short term and, of course, give it more flexibility to deploy capital on various other ventures that they want to do going forward. Now, coming into this whole thing of various other ways of unlocking capital, I think Mr. Rangaprasad did mention, and I'll just reiterate, I mean, on OTT Play, we had been directing all the investors that we will sooner rather than later take a call, and we took all stakeholders along with this. And you've seen circa 31st March 2026, we have taken that decision. And hence, you are seeing the improvement in the financial position on this in the first quarter result, which is sustainable, which will go forward. On the other things that you are saying, we don't give any forward statement. But I think you should not presume that the company is not looking at all other options available to kind of to maximize the capital or cut losses or increase EPS, etc. All those options are on the table and they are being discussed right up till the board level. So, saying that from a highest level of morality or ethics, etc., someone is shortchanging. I think the only way that you can you can talk about a share price is the existing share price in the stock market. I mean, we all understand it's undervalued share, but really I can't do much because that's not where the market is valuing us. So we are doing whatever is in the best possible interest of the company and within our means, raising fresh capital to retire debt, give us capital flexibility to invest in businesses which can create long-term sustainable value for all shareholders, majority or minority. I'll stop there. If you've got any questions, happy to take those.
Can I seek a clarification question on this? Can I ask
Go
one
ahead.
more question, please? Piyush,
Go
in
ahead.
the past, whenever we have discussed share price, you have always reiterated that we are not bothered about the share price. We are not looking at the share price. We just want to keep on doing the right things in this business. Now I am saying that when convenient, you are then moving to the share price as per SEBI regulations. So I am saying, there is no consistency in the statements.
No,
The
no.
second
Okay,
thing
so.
is that the second thing is that a couple of years ago I had asked this question in the AGM on debt, that why are we taking debt? And I was told that we are not using debt in the business. And we are using debt only for treasury purposes. And if we are making money on treasury, why should we not show that treasury operation on the debt side? So this is the first time I am coming to know that you are using debt in the business. And the chairperson herself has said that we are debt free and we are not using debt for any business purposes.
Mehul, yeah, so let me just answer that. I think we publish our balance sheet every year for HT Media, HMVL, Digi Content Limited, and all the companies. I think, is there debt sitting in HT Media? It has been now sitting for the last 3 to 4 years. It is not a fresh information that I'm giving here. In this particular call, we are showing a combined net cash position, hence you see the numbers that you see. But this is not fresh information. That has been building in HT Media for the last 4 or 5 years. Post-COVID, because of the English operations and radio operations, etc., etc. So this is not any fresh information, and we are just trying to retire the debt. So I stop here.
You have said that we are not using debt for business. It is only for treasury. I am just saying that consistency is not there. The chairperson herself has said, you go back to the minutes of the AGM past. She has herself made the statement.
That is a comment either from a HMVL perspective or a consolidated number perspective. In HTML, that argument cannot hold, and I will look at the result, look at the transcript. Please, you also have a look at the transcript.
ठीक है, मैंने यू प्लीज कन्वे आवर शेयरहोल्डर्स मैसेज टू द बोर्ड, एंड इवन इफ वी आर अ माइनॉरिटी, आवर वोटिंग अगेंस्ट द रेजोल्यूशन शुड एटलीस्ट बी इंट्रोस्पेक्टेड.
No, we respect that, Mehul. See, look, I can only tell you this. We are raising capital to retire debt, improve EPS, which will be helpful to everyone. We have priced the issue on SEBI. The only other thing we would have done is priced it at a premium, which would have meant a dilution for everyone else. We have not gone down that route. I think I stopped there, and that's basically the only objective. In the company which have a net debt position, the company which has cash, you're obviously not raising any capital fresh.
Moving on, the next question is from the line of Rohan Agarwal. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, Piyush. Can you hear me?
Yes, Rohan, you are audible.
Yeah. Hi, so this is Rohan from Wave Asset PMS. Sorry, I joined the call a little late, so I'm not sure if this was covered before. I just wanted to speak regarding the other income jump that we've had in HMVL. I just wanted to know what's the nature of that, of the income. Is it treasury gains or is it like one-off M2Ms on our investments? So it'll be helpful to know what it is and like how, what can we expect other income to be going forward, because it's a significant part of the P&L.
Yeah, in HMEL, the other income, there is a substantial portion which is on treasury, and this time there is also profit on sale of assets which we have got. Both are a reflection. The treasury gains is a function of the yield curve movement towards the end of the quarter, which has helped us have substantial gains. There is volatility in the market, as you know, Rohan, so we cannot predict it because the adverse global situation and the markets in US also tends to have a dependency on how we move in Indian markets as well. But we are positioned well to make the best of the situations as these stabilize.
Got it. So this current quarter's other income gain, significant part of that you're saying also is M2M gains on our investments, yeah?
So the treasury gains is basically mutual funds, and it's an NAV-based process and not an MTM valuation-based process.
Yeah,
Just
I got
that
that, but
difference. Yeah.
what about our the investments that we hold? Is
This
that what's up?
no, it is treasury and it is actual realized profit on sale of
Got
assets.
it. Got it. Got it. Cool. And just my other question is on our print EBITDA margins, I see that that's come down Q on Q. I assume because of high newsprint costs. I just wondered if you could give us a little more color on how you see newsprint costs going forward, like how would it affect the EBITDA margin for the rest of the year, say if newsprint costs remain the same, and do we hedge or is there some sort of cost mitigation measures that we take place, or maybe any cost increases, price increases on circulation that we do? So it'll be
Yeah.
helpful to know that.
So I want you to decide. So Rohan, let me give you a slightly high level question. See if that answers your question. The newsprint for our print business is really the single biggest cost line item. Depending on the price, it varies anywhere between 25 to 40% of the entire bill of material, including direct and indirect cost. Right? At this point in time, post-COVID. And why I'm saying post-COVID? Because COVID was a time when the newsprint prices per metric ton had reached the highest because of supply chain disruptions and so on and so forth. After that, it had come down very substantially. But after that, this is the highest that peak that we have seen at about $650 to $700 a metric ton. We believe that the prices have peaked and should plateau at this level before they start coming down. But obviously, as a commodity, no one can predict. That's our best estimate. So we believe if the prices don't go any further adverse from here on, we should be able to maintain our margins on the print business on the operating side very, very clearly. But newsprint, as I have always pointed or directed the investor community, that print, unlike other commodity, it doesn't have a forward market. So there is no way that you can with certainty predict the forward prices. So it is what it is. What is also not helping is dollar is also at a lifetime high. And all the newsprint is priced in US dollars, so that effectively a double whammy on that cost line item. But hopefully, we believe it's already peaked and should at some point in time start coming down, which will only help the margins. I hope that answers your question.
Sure. So, I mean, the EBITDA margin that we had this quarter for print, which is around 13%, should we expect that as sort of, the
Yeah,
baseline
so
for
Rohan,
the
by and large, in your modeling, you can use that, but I told you what the imponderables are. So let's say theoretically, if the dollar goes to 100 and the commodity goes to 700, then suddenly we will have a margin dilution. But from a modeling exercise perspective, I think that's a fair assumption to take.
Yeah, and Q2 per se, there'll be a slight as we look at it, there is a slightly higher newsprint price vis-à-vis Q1. Exact margins will be a function of the categories which advertise the pricing we get also, which may or may not offset that to some extent.
Sure. And would you consider taking the cover price hike if warranted to?
See, Rohan, I think over time it's difficult to kind of the Hindi papers, for example, are well priced in turn right now. Now, over times, as the commodity prices increased, as in everybody has taken a price increase, a further price increase would be a little difficult. We do take actions on the volume side to the extent possible without compromising on the product on the reach when there are such situations, but pricing per se, we may not have much of a lever.
Got it. Understood. Thank you. Appreciate your answers.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Yash R. Please introduce yourself and ask your question.
Yes. Hi, Yash. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Yes,
Okay,
please go
so
ahead.
congratulations on a good set of numbers. Ad revenue has grown by around 15% at the print level, right? English and HMVL. So what has driven the business this time? Because what we are hearing is that this was a difficult quarter, but in spite of that, we are still showing a mid double-digit growth. So what's contributed? Is it on account of volume or is it on account of pricing that we've increased?
I mean, difficult quarter is more from a cost side pressure. Otherwise, it's been a reasonable quarter actually from a revenue perspective. We have seen commercial revenues holding from a volume perspective. We have had a benefit of yield improvement there. With respect to government revenues, we have a combination of both volume and pricing. But as you know, that the government had increased the rates for all the publications in towards November of last year, and of course for the next 2 quarters we will have that. We are cycling lower pricing from a government revenue perspective. That also has helped. So a combination of volume and pricing, but both commercial and government revenues have grown.
And Yash, if I may just add to what Anna said, look, we've been consistently saying that we are focusing a lot on field improvement, and this quarter I think it's substantially standing out that all our efforts have paid heed here. So a substantial part of that revenue growth of 15% is driven by our pricing. Of course, government gave us a price increase in November last year, but that was after 7 years. Please remember, the world has changed in 7 years. Our yield improvement program is definitely helping us. So, whether I think it's a good set of numbers. We hope that this continues, but let's see. Time will tell.
So for commercial, if I can summarize, it was the yield that mostly, or the pricing that got us higher, right?
Yeah.
But volumes have also helped.
Okay, but majorly it's on account of the pricing increase.
Yes. Yeah.
And if I may ask, what is the government share to the overall ratio? Because that might not be much.
Well, we don't exactly share that number, but it's substantial. When I say substantial, it's definitely a reasonably good number. But commercial is infinitely a bigger block of revenue.
Government has always been a decent component of revenues for all print publishing.
Okay. And what has happened on the circulation front for HT English? I can see that it has grown by around 14%. Is it on the back of copies or have we increased any prices in the past quarter?
But actually on the circulation, I think it's a steady state circulation. I think those numbers that you are seeing are statistically looking like big in percentages, but we are market by market holding on to our copy share that we want to attain, we want to keep in major English markets because your question is on HTML. But percentages might be appreciating it here and there, but copy, I think no drastic action on pricing up, pricing down, cutting copies, introducing copies have been taken. It's a pretty steady state circulation and likely to be like that in the current competitive sphere.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. So basically, have the copies gone up or has the price increased? Because 14%, I know the number is pretty small, 13 versus 12.
It's mostly pricing, but it's a function of mix we play, line versus subscription, and also the discounting that happens.
Yeah, yes, my only point is 14 as a percentage might look big, but absolute number, as you yourself said, is pretty inconsequential, which can have multiple levers which can swing either way, subscription copy mix to line copy mix, overweighing little copies in a particular market versus underweighing. But this is more or less, by and large, a steady state copy level that we are maintaining, which we are likely to maintain for some time.
Okay,
It's about one
and
and a half crores is his point. It's not 14% sounds large, but it's only about one
yeah,
point.
okay, and in HMVL there seems to be a spike in the other operating income. I believe it was around 10 last year, first quarter, and this time it's 20.
There is a that includes some amount of job work income, and scrap sales and all of that, and there is a increase in all of those this
So almost double.
Well, as I was saying earlier, those things. Yeah, just hold
Sorry, I didn't get that. Hello.
Yeah, there is increase in other operating income in HMVL from the other lines.
Job work and the
Scrap
other
sale. Yeah,
scrap
the
sales.
other.
Okay, just one last question. I believe there has been some reduction in this employee salaries, employee costs versus previous year and slightly against previous quarter.
Sorry, your voice broke. Can you repeat that, please?
I'm saying there has been some reduction in the employee cost that I'm seeing.
Yeah. This is HMEL or console level that you're talking?
I'm talking about the console first. So I can see it has gone to 99 approximately from 111 in the last year.
Well,
Console.
we've been driving efficiency. I think that's something that we've been saying for the past. I think we've been right-sizing the organization, and that's basically what it is.
Okay, so that's across HT and HMEL both, right? Because both are showing some reduction.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Mahima. Please introduce yourself and ask your question. Mahima, you'll have to unmute yourself first. Yes.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, hello. Congratulations for your result, sir. So I was referring to the previous question, and there seemed to be some ambiguity regarding the financials of HT Media and HMVL. Sir, I was wondering if it would be more appropriate for the shareholders to receive the financial information of two listed companies separately, like as it could provide some greater clarity and transparency.
But Mahima, if I'm not mistaken, we do provide it separately. HMVL's results were published yesterday, and HT Media standalone and consolidated results have been published today. So all the three different financial statements are separately published.
No, sir, I was talking about the con call. It is
Oh,
getting.
con call.
Yeah.
Look, we much prefer to do it the way that we are doing it right now. And feel free to ask a question either on HMVL or HT Media, but we'd rather have one con call addressing the shareholders of both the companies, if that's okay with you.
Oh, all right, sir.
Thank you. Thank you all. With this, we come to the end of the Q&A session. If you have any further queries, please reach out to the investor relations team. Our contact details are given in the investor presentation and are also mentioned on our websites. I now hand over to Piyush for closing remarks.
Thank you, Ritya. And thank you, dear friends, for joining our quarter one FY27 earnings call. We are very happy with the set of numbers that we have put down for this quarter. We hope that we continue this, we repeat this performance going forward. With this, I look forward to seeing you next quarter, and thank you very much.